I'm really excited to be here tonight, and I just want you guys to know that I am nothing special, but I love Jesus, and I'm so excited to be here with you. And I just, including myself, including Pastor Tina, including the guys, I just don't want any of us to walk out of those doors without being changed on the inside. So can we just, like, one sisterhood come together and just agree that we're just going to be vulnerable? Because what we're going to talk about tonight is, I always say it's like standing naked in front of my personal trainer. I'm like, oh my God, he sees all the flaws, or she sees all the flaws, whoever's personal training me. Like you don't want anyone to see the flaws. And so tonight, I'm going to just, you're my sister, so we're just going to pretend we're hanging in the living room with some glow sticks and some Rice Krispie treats.
And some fly hair.
And some fly hair.
Oh, and some, yeah, lots of hairspray, some fly hair.
And blue eyeshadow.
Yo, we look heck of fly. Okay. So, or kind of ridiculous. So, who cares? We're all, like, together, right? And on it? Okay.
Okay, so tonight we want to talk about brokenness and how the Lord does not minimize the things that break us and the things that we experience that break us. And the word broken means having been fractured or damaged, no longer in one piece or in working order. There's been so many times in my life where I felt that. I felt like I am not in working order. I feel like a hot mess. Who feels like you feel like that right now? You don't have to raise your hand, but I will raise. There are times and seasons in my life where I have felt like, Lord, when is my life going to come together? Because I am broken. I am broken and I am hurting. And I've been through seasons where I've felt guilty. It's kept me away from getting in the presence of God because I feel like I'm still broken. I don't want to go before God again feeling like this. But you know what? That's the enemy's plan, to disconnect us from our Creator, from the one who can heal the brokenness. And so tonight we want to talk about that. We want to talk about some of the things that break us. And we want to encourage you to have the right perspective as you go through seasons of brokenness. Because if you have the right perspective and you can allow your brokenness, if you can allow God to help you with your brokenness and allow Him to heal, you can come through shining and grow.
Glowing.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
So a couple weeks ago, I got asked to speak at this camp in Georgia, and I wanted them to buy glow sticks because I wanted to talk about glow sticks. I love glow sticks, okay? Ever since I was a little girl, I had the glow stick everything. I had the stars on my wall. I loved glow sticks, and I think it's because I was scared of the dark, and I was afraid. And so, they just bring so much comfort. Aren't they fun? They, like, totally change the atmosphere, right? But I started thinking about it, and I thought, oh, my God, this was so great. But how do we make a glow stick glow? We break it. And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about what, you know, Tina was just saying about what God does in our lives. And sometimes we get frustrated because God allows us to be broken. But how many of us, have gone through something and are so grateful that He's taken us through that place, because we would never be the same. Like, we're a new person. And some of you guys may be broken right now and you haven't come to that place, but I'm telling you right now, like, tonight, it's a new, you're going to be shining brighter than ever.
Yes.
You know that?
Psalms 147 verse 3 says that He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That means that He covers your wounds. He wraps them. And He puts the oil of anointing, of healing on those wounds. He binds them up so that they can heal. He cures your pains and He heals your sorrows. That's what Psalms 147 verse 3 says. What are the things that have broken your heart or have broken you? Some of you may be dealing with the brokenness of divorce. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you're dealing with the betrayal of someone you thought was your friend. There are so many things in life that you're going to go through that are going to break you, that have broken you, and you will feel that again. If you've come through seasons of brokenness, you better get ready, because more is going to come ahead. But the beautiful thing is that God allows us to feel what we need to feel when we're broken. That I think for me, the point that I want to talk about or that I want you to hear is not to be ashamed because you're broken. There's no shame in that. What you should be ashamed of is believing the lie that you could never come out of it, or that things will never change, or that you can't be healed. Because I used to think that about myself. I used to think I'm never going to be whole. Because of what I've experienced, because of what's been done to me, I was abused, sexually abused when I was a child. I was rejected by my parents. I was betrayed by the ones who were supposed to teach me what love was, and they hurt me. And so I carried rejection, and I felt so broken and damaged, and I was discouraged and depressed for such a long time, and I felt shame. I carried shame. But what I didn't understand is that God wasn't minimizing what I was going through. And he wanted me to continue to bring that to him so that he can continue to heal me. And so tonight, as we talk about brokenness, whatever it is that has broken you, whatever it is that you're facing or dealing with, I want you to know that God heals and binds up your wounds. And he will cure every pain that you have. Any pain that you have, he heals the broken soul. He heals a broken spirit. He heals a broken body. So if you're sick tonight, God can heal you. God can heal you. There are so many things that are going on inside of my body because I'm 40, and I don't know why that happens to you when you turn 40. But you know what? A lot of women just give into it and go, oh, well, that's what happens because you're 40. You know, those things come when you get older. Well, you know what? I'm resisting that because I want to continue to enjoy life. And so, I don't know, if you follow me on Facebook, you know that I post sometimes that I hate being lactose intolerant. Girl, I like to eat.
Amen.
And I like donuts, and I like frosting, and I like coffee with milk and cream and sugar. And I like a lot of things that have to do with dairy and whatever. And so this lactose intolerance is breaking me. Is cheese. Yes, I love pasta. I love cheese. And since I've turned 40, I haven't been able to eat those things because it messes me up. It messes me up. I know I'm about to cry. No, but guess what? I'm not going to receive and just accept that. I'm going to pursue healing. I don't have to, just because I turned 40, live with being lactose intolerant. Don't laugh
amen.
At me.
No, amen.
That is a silly thing, but I'm trying to be, just make it real. Like, this is what it is. This is what serving God and having the word and believing in his word looks like. So God can use your hurts to help you grow and to help you glow. You must first give your hurts to him. For me, it was the pain of abuse. I've had to give him the fruit of what that abuse produced in my life. And what it produced was darkness, emptiness, and depression. And once I gave it to him, he turned those things into some of my greatest strengths. You know, there's some women that you can be around and you're like, wow, she's been through some things. Like, she's hurting. Something is wrong with her. Like, she's going through it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're around certain women and they're just always mad. Like, they always have an attitude with whatever they're saying. You say, hey, would you like something to drink? Yeah, I guess. Oh, what would you like? A chocolate donut or a frosted donut? I'm thinking about food now. Whatever. You know? Or would you like plastic or paper, ma'am? Just whatever. You can tell, like, that type of woman, that angry woman or woman with an attitude or this face that looks like, don't talk to me. Normally I think, wow, that she's going through something. She's broken. Those women that are carrying that have not given their hurts and their brokenness to God. And that's so normal in our culture, to live that way. And to be okay, it's okay to live that way. And I want to tell you tonight that you don't have to live like that. I mean, a lot of times when I tell people my story and I give them the details about stuff that I've been through, they're like, wow, I would have never known that you had gone through those things. Like you can't tell. And there's a lot of women who've been through sexual abuse or some of the things that I've experienced, and you can tell. And that's not, I don't say that to shame them, but I'm saying they don't have to live that way. And I think it's wonderful, not anything to me. A lot of people say, wow, how have you, I can't believe you do the things that you do having gone through some of the things that you do. And I have to say, you know what? It's Jesus. I don't have any other thing to say. It's not because I'm so great or such a forgiving person or because I'm so strong, you know, emotionally. It's not that. It's God. It's the grace of God that has gotten me to this place in my life. And so I want you to know that no matter what you've been through, no matter what's broken you, you can come out of that. And it could be a strength. It can turn into a strength and help you to grow.
You got something?
Amen.
You know, the reason why Pastor Tina can give it to the Lord is because she understands one thing, and it's that it's not about her. It's not about her. It's about him. So her story isn't really her story. Her story is God's story. So now it's not about what people think about Pastor Tina. It's about what God has done in Pastor Tina's life. And that is why we can give our lives, we can give our hearts and our, this is Instagram in real life. I always say, like, oh, is this Instagram in real life? Let's just be honest. Like, we always look prettier in our pictures on Instagram than we do in real life. I mean, seriously, you will never find me without makeup on Instagram. Okay. Can we get real for a second? Okay. I care about what people think about me. I do. I care what people think about me. So when something goes wrong in my life, like divorce, now I really care what people think about me, because now, oh my God, like, what are they going to think about me? Like, I'm supposed to be like this awesome woman, and I have blogs on marriage. Like, I speak at marriage conferences. I actually mentor married women. Like, and now my marriage has fallen apart. Like, what are people going to think about me? Okay, so now God has restored my life, but I still don't want to talk about it because I'm afraid of what you think about me. Because we live in this world, this fantasy world. It's this obsession with social media. We're used to people thinking one thing. It's a filter. It's a cute hashtag. It's a Bible. It's a cute pose with a Bible verse. When in reality, God's just trying to heal us so that we can really tell the real story here. And when we give our hurts to the Lord, we can work them. He can heal us. And my favorite verse in the Bible is James 1, 2 through 4. And it says, my brothers and sisters, my sisters, one sisterhood, be happy and joyful when you go through trials and tribulations.
Because of testing.
Full of joy? Like, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance and patience and makes you perfect and beautiful and every and wise and glowing. Because when you go through things, when you're broken, you glow. When you go through a hard time, when you're in the middle of a divorce, when you're in the middle of of your parents being divorced, when you're in the middle of losing your job, what do? The first thing, people that don't even know God, the first thing they do is, oh, Lord, please, God, I don't even know you. Or, you know, oh, you've got a gun to your head. The first thing you say is, oh, God, right? You draw near to the Lord. Okay, so remember when we were little, how do you get your stars to glow really bright? You hold them up to a lamp, yeah? You go to the source. We've got to stay close to the source. If we want to glow, then, and sometimes we think our glow sticks are like really bright until we hold them. Remember, like, we're like, oh, it's dark, and then we see the glow lights, and we're like, oh, that's pretty. But then if you put the flashlight up to them and then took them off, do you guys remember that? And now your stars are like so much brighter, but we get so used to our dim light, and when we kind of don't spend a lot of time with the source. But when we go through brokenness and we get close to the source, that's when he lights our fire up and we're glowing brighter.
What were you saying in the car when we were talking about earlier how like those who are offended, those who are bugged. What were you saying then?
I was saying that there are so many places in the Bible, and I'm going to just say this one, that's it's Job 38, and you guys should just look it up. Even if you don't have a Bible, just Google it, Job 38, okay? And in the Voice translation, God says to Job, I want you to get courageous really quick. I want you to be a warrior. And you're like, okay, like, what's he about to ask God, Job to do, you know? And he's like, I want you to get your courage up to do something that I'm about to ask you to do. And the task at hand that I'm about to ask you to do, are you ready for this? Is to answer the questions that I'm about to ask you. So Job's like getting ready for like war. Like he just said warrior. So we're thinking like, oh my gosh, like God needs a warrior for what? To answer a question. And God's like, where were you when I made the earth? Where were you? Do you just wake up every day and tell the sun where to go and how far the tides are? And God is asking Job all these crazy questions that are obviously like, no, I wasn't there. Like, God wants us to recognize how big he is and how small we are. See, the problem is that our world, the lie is, oh, you are amazing. You are amazing. You go home, you look at yourself, girl, and you tell yourself, you are amazing. You can do anything. Anything is possible. And, you know, no, that's a lie. Jesus is amazing. We are broken. We are strong. Jesus is strong. That sounds so backwards, doesn't it? Like, that makes me kind of mad. Be going, like, you know what? We shouldn't say that at One Sisterhood. We're like a, you know, oh, go girls. No, no, we are not strong. I am a mess. If I lose my job, I'm a mess. But with Jesus, he is strong. So now that makes me strong because I have Jesus. Do you get it? Okay, so what we were talking about in the car is that he wants us to know that he is amazing. He is incredible. He is faithful. So get our eyes off of us, off the selfie, out of the mirror, out of we are always checking ourselves and making sure we look amazing. He's like, stop looking at you. Look at me. Stop staring at yourself in the mirror. Stop checking yourself all the time. Check me. Look how faithful I am. Look how amazing I am. Look how I sustain you all the time. Keep your eyes up. And when we keep our eyes up, then we realize that life isn't about us. It's about him. Because when life is about us, we're offended all the time. Everything bothers us. Man, did you see what she just said? Oh, heck no. Did you see what she just texted me? Oh, my gosh, I can't believe did you just see that guy pull over? Oh, my gosh. Did you just, man, this line is crazy. Like, but then when life isn't about you, you can relax. You can chill out. You can. And some of us were like, I don't know how to relax. Okay, just me, just for a second. I'm just being honest with you. This is something that I'm learning still to this day. I think I've done well in the last couple years, just relaxing, not being so stressed out all the time. But when life literally is not about us and it's about God, then some of us are married in here, but life is about us. So he better do this right, he better do that right, she better do this right, she better. But when it's about God, then you're free to love and serve. And even in work, like when it's about God and not about you or about me, then it's not it's freedom. And so it goes back to Job when he says, hey, get your courage up like a warrior. So God is basically saying real strength is being free to know how big I am and how small you are. That's real freedom. That's real strength. Because the world nowadays does not want you to think that. They want you to think independent, I-N-D-E-P-E. Do you remember that? Okay. And I'm a lady, it's dinner, hands up with me. I'm single ladies. Okay. All of those things are saying, hey, you're amazing. If you're by yourself, if you're independent, if you're paying your own bills, if you're doing your own thing, then you are strong. You don't need nobody. Well, that's a lie. I need Jesus. I am not okay alone. I'm not. And so I just think that is just so, when I was reading Job, that you have to go check it out. Job 38, he just says, just get your courage up like a warrior and just recognize how amazing I am and not how amazing you are.
Right?
So,
amen. So, why don't you tell them a little bit about when you got married, how long you were married for, and all that.
So, I got married, so I'm 33. I know, you thought I was 23. I'm 33, though. I got married when I was 23, and I was married for 6 years to an awesome guy. He was awesome, and but he chose himself multiple times over our marriage and stepped outside of our marriage, and we...
What a fool, right? Because look how beautiful she is.
So because I wanted my marriage to work, because I believed that God could do anything, because I would never tell anybody the first or the second time, this is my thing, if my friend was like, hey, my husband, blah, 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 I'd be like, girl, stay, pray, stay and pray. Because I believed that God is amazing, I stayed for 6 years, and just believing that the Lord would do a miracle, and he did a miracle, but the guy that I was married to just didn't want to move in the same direction, and so, yeah, I was married for 6 years.
And forgive me for calling him a fool, but I'm just disappointed in him.
Fool. No, I'm just saying it's in the Bible, right?
Okay, so Haley has been serving God for a long time, and the whole time she was married for that 6 years, she was really contending for her marriage. And she, like she said earlier, she writes a blog, and she has several different things that she does. Share.
What do I do?
Miss Sunshine, Jerseys and Heels.
Oh, yeah. I teach girls about football, y'all.
I Am Mermaid.
I have a t-shirt company called I Am Mermaid. I have a blog called Mrs. Sunshine, S-O-N, Son of God Shining. So I'm on Instagram, Mrs. Sunshine.
And several times on from our One Sisterhood page, I've actually posted links to her blogs. Because some of the things that she says, the things that she talks about, and the messages that she writes about, women need to hear. And so the whole time she was in that situation in her marriage, she was writing about how wonderful marriage is and how it's supposed to bless your life and how it's supposed to make your life bigger and all the things that you should be experiencing in your marriage while she was broken and hanging on and believing God and saying, God, I'm broken. My marriage is not looking good, but I'm going to continue to serve you. I'm going to continue to love you. And I'm going to continue to believe you for a miracle. And she had to make a decision at some point because the fool didn't want to get on the miracle train to move on. And again, I'm sorry. He's not a fool. I'm just disappointed in him. You know, she had to make a decision to move on with her life. And here she had put it out all over social media how great marriage is and how God moves in our marriages in her marriage. Now was over. And so you can imagine the season she's just come out of going, okay, how am I going to recover from this? Like, how can I encourage others? How can I be me when I'm divorced? Like, who's going to want me now? Who's going to believe what I have to say because I'm divorced? And I want you to know that even though she went through that, God for 1 minute did not go, you know what? You should have never been writing those things on Facebook. Like, I am ashamed of you. You were wasting your time. That's not what God was saying to her. You know, that's probably what we would feel. Those are the thoughts that we would have if we were in her shoes. But what God was saying is, it's okay, daughter. I still love you. You are still mine. I have someone for you. I want you to have the best life. I want you to be in love. I want you to experience love. And I want you to know the grandness and the greatness of marriage. And you're going to have that again. But you got to walk through a season of darkness. But that darkness that you're walking through, it says in the Bible that though I walk through the valleys and the shadows and feel like death, I don't have to fear evil. Why? Why can I be in the darkness and not fear? Because you are with me. And so Haley was able to go through having to walk that difficult decision to walk away from her marriage and looking ahead, not seeing hope. Not seeing a new life, not dreaming, but seeing darkness. And making a decision to say, I'm going to go through this darkness right now. And I'm not going to be afraid because, God, you're going to be with me. And you know what? God allowed her to go through that season. It's not like, okay, get over it, be healed, and move on. And sometimes we put that pressure on us like, I got to get over this. Why am I still dealing with this? Why am I still sad? Why am I still depressed? God's not looking at you that way. There's a time and a season for everything, and sometimes we do have to let go of the things that we've experienced in the past. Because there's times where I keep going, God, I want this. God, I need this. God, and he'll say to me, well, I have those things to give it to you, but you keep going back to what happened to yesterday. And because you're still holding on to yesterday, you don't have enough room to hold on to what I want to give you for today. So there is a time and a season for everything, but God does not minimize the things that you are broken about. I remember one time being in my room, spending time with God. Little Sergio was just a baby. He was barely 9 months old. And he was laying next to me just smiling, those big, brown, beautiful eyes. And I was just praying to the Lord, thinking, God, I want to be a good mom. I want to raise my son right. I want to provide him with security, but I don't think I can. I'm so broken, Lord. God, I need you to heal me. God, please heal me. And I opened my Bible, and this scripture was there. And it's in, this is the Message version of Matthew chapter 3. And it says, I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. This is this is John speaking. And he says, the real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand. He will ignite the kingdom life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you. He will change you from the inside out. He's going to clean your house, make a clean sweep of your life, and he's going to place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. So in that moment, and as I was looking at my son and thinking, like, I'm so jacked up. I don't know how to be a mom. I don't know how to be a wife. I don't know how to be a minister. God, like, why am I here? I'm afraid that I'm going to mess up my kid's life. And I open my word, and God speaks directly to me. That was exactly what I needed to hear, because I felt like everything inside of me was all in the wrong place. Like, my heart's there, but the pieces are broken and they're not put back together. It was like a puzzle, and all the pieces were not going together, and I didn't know how to put it together. And those were literally my thoughts as I was writing in my journal. I was saying, God, I feel so broken. God, I feel like I don't know how to do this. God, I don't even know, how is this going to happen? And that's what he spoke to me, that he was going to ignite a kingdom life within me. And that he was going to put everything that was trash out to be burned, and everything true and right in its proper place. And I just want you to know tonight that no matter what has broken you, no matter what you're dealing with or experiencing, God wants to put everything true and pure in its right place in your life and in your heart. Would you stand up with me tonight? Eddie, will you come and help me on the keyboard? I just want to give you an opportunity before we close out to just receive some prayer. Christine, will you come up, please, and help? As well, I want you to have the opportunity to just come before the Lord, to be real, like Haley was saying. Let's be vulnerable. Let's not leave here tonight and not be changed. There is no reason for you to leave here tonight feeling the same way that you came in. God is here, and it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a leader in this church. It doesn't matter if you're a visitor tonight. It doesn't matter if you were in the club last night. It doesn't matter if you got drunk last night. It doesn't matter if you got in a fight with your husband before you came here. It doesn't matter if you yelled at your kids. It doesn't matter. What matters is that God knows exactly who you are and what you need. And he wants the opportunity. He wants the opportunity to put everything right in its proper place for you. He wants you to know that you are important. And yes, everything that Haley was saying, like, it's not about us. It's about him. But once we grasp that, that it's not about us and that it's all about him, then we can live life and enjoy life. Even when hard times come, even when you see the darkness ahead, when Haley had to walk through that darkness, is because she knew her Savior. And she trusted that God's promise to never leave her or forsake her was true. And that even though she was about to step into the darkness and couldn't see the light ahead, she was able to do that. And now she's glowing again. She's glowing again. And it's going to continue to get brighter and brighter. And God wants you to feel that again. He wants you to see the light and experience the light.